You know, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31 this morning. So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah 31. You know, like we heard in prayers and manifestations this morning, it's God's desire for a family, for children to interact with, to love and to guide. Shows up quite clearly in several sections of the Old Testament. One is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and happens to be also verse 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31.
That's great.
It says, behold, I'll be there. Okay. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put what? My law in their inward parts. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a great verse of scripture, isn't it? What a great promise. See, you see God's heart, his desire in that verse, in these verses? Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall what? All know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. What a great section, what a great promise in God's word, right? What separated man from God? Sin, right? And in verse 34, what does it say? I will forgive them their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. How was this accomplished? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, right? And they shall all know me, my law, my desires in their hearts. And how was that accomplished? Through the gift of Holy Spirit, right? These verses are a great reality today, aren't they? Jesus Christ has come and died for us, right? The Holy Spirit has been poured out on the day of Pentecost and is available to each born again one now, right? These are reality today in the age, in our age of grace. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Jeremiah, Daniel? No. Lamentations, thank you. Ezekiel. I know there's one book between them. Ezekiel 36. Look at this promise. Very similar. We'll start in verse 26. And Alan, would you like to read verses 26 through 28?
Sure. Ezekiel 37, verse 26.
No, I'm sorry, 36. Verse 26.
Okay. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Again, you know, great, great promises. It says, again, look at God's heart to have a people. A new spirit will I put within you, the gift of Holy Spirit, and cause you to walk in my ways, my statutes. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Look at God's heart for relationship with his people there. What a great promise, a promise of a new spirit, God's own spirit within man, you know, so man can walk in God's ways and do his will. You know, again, these are very true verses today. Let's turn to Joel chapter 2. If you get, what, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. More promises from God, similar promises. We're starting in verse 8. We're not 28, I'm sorry. Joel 2, verse 28. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Verse 29, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Well, what are those days? Those days are now, right? God's spirit has been poured out upon all flesh. And God is no respecter of persons, is he? Says to the old, to the young, to the servants, to the handmaidens, to the male, to the female. Okay, I will pour out my spirit. Sounds like the promise of Ezekiel, doesn't it? Well, it is. And on the day of Pentecost, God's promises were fulfilled. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Aren't these great promises in the Old Testament? Just wonderful. And the great reality is they are now true realities today. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In fact, Peter in Acts chapter 2 does quote Joel. But let's go down to verse 38 in Acts 2. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise that was in the Old Testament, right, is unto what? You, every one of you in this room, every one of you online, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And how many does the Lord God call? Calls everyone. It's everyone, right? So the promise, the gift of God's very Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is to you and everyone who God shall call. That includes you and me, okay? You get that gift when? When you get born again. Just like Peter said. And what a great reality today. As born again ones, as children of God, you are all filled with his gift of Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. You know, the kind of like the instruction manual of Holy Spirit is found in the church epistles. And a good section of the Holy Spirit is found in the first half of Romans chapter 8. It's all about God's gift, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives as Christians. It describes the promise made back in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Joel. The gift of Holy Spirit, our new nature, is mentioned 19 times in the first 27 verses of Romans chapter 8. It's an entire chapter about the spiritual victory and eternal security we have in Christ via the Holy Spirit. Let's start in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1, a great verse we've heard many, many times. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The second half of that verse in the King James Version is not in the critical Greek text because we're going to skip it. Okay, if you look at some of your new translations, it does not have the second half of verse Romans chapter 1. So there is no judgment. There is no eternal sentence of death. When? Now. To who?
Us,
those who are in Christ. And when are you in Christ? When you get born again, right? You know, if you were to make a list of what causes you the most anxiety and depression in your life, okay, there's a lot of things in this world we can get depressed about and anxious about, right? But I bet condemnation would have to be near the top of the list, wouldn't it? That we don't have a right relationship with God. Okay, we feel guilty, we feel anxious. To be in a constant sense of guilt and fear of God's displeasure in our life, it's paralyzing. I think we've all been there at times. But there is now what? No condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. We are not on a performance treadmill, okay, trying to gain God's acceptance. It's a what? It's a legal reality. I don't care if you don't sense it, don't feel it, it's legal. God's the great judge, right? It's his decision. It is a legal reality if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead. And verse 2 tells us why. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what?
Free
from the law of sin and death. Okay, what is the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? It's a law that now governs our lives to those who are born again. It's our new spirit nature. That has made me free from the power of sin and death. What's the power? What's the law of sin and death? That's the old man nature we inherited with Adam. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the gift of Holy Spirit. It's that the totality of the new nature, including all the rights, privileges, and abilities with each and every born-again one receives in the new birth. It is more than just the ability to operate all nine manifestations, like it says in 1 Corinthians. It's a new you. It's a new nature. It's a new life. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 2 briefly. Colossians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 9. Who would like to read verses 9 and 10 of Colossians 2? Okay, thank you, Laura.
For in him, Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Okay, in the King James, I think it's a little confusing. I'm going to read this in the Christian Standard Version, starting in verse 9. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. And verse 10, and you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. So all that is part of God's nature, his love, his light, his holiness, his righteousness, eternal life, resides within Jesus Christ, and he has filled you with God's nature when you get born again. God in Christ in you. You have God's DNA, don't you? Via the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like these acorns are falling in my backyard now. Almost hit me on the head a couple times yesterday. You know, in a single acorn, which is real tiny, it's about the size of, you know, a little thing. You know, in that single acorn is entire DNA necessary to grow in that big oak tree in my backyard. That oak tree is huge. You know, how can that little acorn turn into that big oak tree? You know, because it has all the DNA within itself, right? All it needs. Okay, we have been filled with God's DNA when we get born again. We have to get the Holy Spirit. So what is there not spiritually that we cannot accomplish? We cannot do for God in this world. There's nothing. Because we're filled to the fullest with the Holy Spirit, with God's own nature. You know, you don't have half an acorn within you. We're missing some DNA parts that you can't complete your mission or job for God, right? You have the ability to manifest God's very nature when you get born again. You know, and something in verse 2, again, is it says the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus, that made me free from the law of sin and death. Mentions law twice, right? Uh-huh. Okay, what is the law? And I'm not talking about political laws or man-made laws, which people break all the time and things like that. These are, you know, spiritual laws or laws of physics that God has set up, okay? What is a law? A law is something that always works, right? Look at the law of gravity. Okay, does the law of gravity ever fail?
No.
Okay, you throw a ball up in the air, right? What happens? It comes down. You throw an acorn up there, comes down, falls on your head again, right? I mean, no, it is a law because it works every time, right? Okay, so how we have two laws in verse 2, right? The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and we have a law of sin and death, okay? Had the law of sin and death was what we were before we were born again, right? We couldn't break that law. It was a law. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, right? Law of sin and death. Okay, how do you break free from that law? Well, you have a bigger law, right? Okay, if I throw a ball up in the air, what if I attach a rocket to that ball, okay? And then that rocket is strong enough where it just shoots up and I never see the ball again. Okay, what happened to the law of gravity? Did it not work? Did it fail? It was overcome. It was overcome by what? A bigger law, and the law of thermodynamics. Okay, you put enough power in that rocket to break the law of gravity, and it can go even, if you have a big enough rocket, it can go break free of the Earth's gravity and go into outer space, right? Okay, so what has happened? You have a new law, right? The law of thermodynamics that has broken the law of gravity. Is the law of gravity still real? Yes, it is. But there, you now attached a bigger law, you become that overcame that law of gravity, right? Okay, so look in verse 2 again. We have a law of sin and death. We're under a law of sin and death. That is a law. We are dead in trespasses and sins. But what has happened? God has now given us the ability with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When you get born again, you have that law within you. That law is bigger than the law of sin and death, isn't it? It overcame the law of sin and death. We have the full ability to walk in this new nature that God's given us. The law of sin and death, or sin nature, is what enabled the devil to rule over man, and there was nothing man could do to override that law, to be free from his tyranny. What? Man was under the power of sin and death, right? Until what? God fulfilled his promise on the day of Pentecost. Now, as verse 2 tells us, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Freed me from the law of sin and death. We are free from the tyranny of sin and ultimately death because the Spirit of God that lives in us. If one law frees us from another law, which one's more powerful?
The one that frees us.
Yes, thank you, David. So which one now lives in us?
The one that frees us.
Yes, exactly. This reminds me of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it, okay? Because God says this over and over and over again in his word. One is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, ye are of God, little children. Okay, you're of God, little children. If you're God's child, you're born again. You have the Spirit of God within you, right? And have what? Overcome them. Because why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's a new governing power in your life. Okay, you're not under the tyranny of the devil anymore. Let's turn back to, we're in Romans 8. Let's turn back to chapter 3. Not verse 3, I'm sorry. Romans 8, 3. Okay. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh, God sending his own son into the likeness of sin, and of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Okay, the law here is the third law. This is the Mosaic law. Okay, these are the Ten Commandments. It's even deeper than that. There's more laws than just the Ten Commandments, but it's the Mosaic law. The weakness of the Mosaic law was what? That we did not have the Spirit within us to keep the law. We couldn't keep it. The Mosaic law could not handle the justification of man. The weakness was in us. We needed God to intervene, and he did by the sending of Jesus Christ, to break the power of the law of sin and death in our lives. Mosaic law could not break the law of sin and death in our lives. Verse 4 of Romans 8, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The word righteousness here is better translated the righteous requirement of the Mosaic law. Mm-hmm. What is the righteous requirement of the law? Was that correct? That we walk perfectly, don't sin, right? If we walk in the Spirit, so verse 4 says, if we walk in the Spirit, the new nature we have, right, conduct our lives in the Spirit, we do not sin. Mm-hmm. We don't have to sin. Why is that? Because we have the Spirit of God within us now. We have the ability not to sin. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus fulfills the righteous requirement of the law. So what's the problem with born-again ones, right? Why do we still fall short at times, right? Well, let's continue reading in verse 5. Okay, for they that are what? After the flesh, do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, the words do mind mean to direct one's attention to seek or strive for, to set one's heart's desire upon, okay? Thinking the thoughts of the new nature of what we have in the gift of Holy Spirit, it's not automatic, is it? It's conditional. The believers in Corinth and Galatia had this problem, right? From God's point of view, it's a done deal, right? He sees you as liberated, and you are, okay? We just have to reckon it so to get our thinking aligned with God's thinking. Can we forget we are spiritual beings? Yeah. We can, okay? Let's turn to James chapter 1. See, from God's point of view, you know, it's a done deal. You are spiritual beings. You are filled with the gift of Holy Spirit. But we can forget that. Look, James chapter 1. We'll start in verse, if somebody's there, can they read verses 23 through 25? James 1.
For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed.
So what is the perfect law of liberty? It's the word of God, okay? And continues in the word of God, being not forgetful, that man shall be what? Blessed. Remember who you are. Remember that you have the Holy Spirit. Remember you are in God's kingdom now, not the devil's. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. We'll continue on in verse 6. I love Romans 8. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Laura, you were talking about being sometimes distracted, depressed. Good thing to do always is turn to Romans 8 if you ever are, because it's a great section of God's Word. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded, what's carnal? What does carnal mean?
Flesh.
The things of the world, okay. The systems of the world, the things of the world, right? Mm-hmm. To be carnally minded doesn't say you are carnal in nature, does it? It says you're carnally minded. Your mind's carnal, right? Mm-hmm. Is what? Death. No, there's no profit. There's no benefit to it. But to be spiritually minded is what?
Life and peace.
Are you a carnal being? Not in God's eyes, you aren't, okay? But you can be carnally minded. You could be thinking the things of this world, can't you, in your mind, okay? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Okay, for it is not subject to the law of God, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are carnally minded, you cannot please God. Verse 9, but ye, if you're born again, okay, are what? Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And this Spirit of God dwells in you when you're born again, right? This is who you are now. This is how God sees you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, if you're not born again, you're not in God's family. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, is Christ in you?
Yes.
Yes, he is. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. There's no reason, as a born-again one, to really live in the flesh, to be carnally minded. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. There's no value to us. Dead works. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live, have life and peace. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Isn't that a great section of Scripture? There is no value to being carnally minded anymore. Okay? The Spirit leads us in the right direction. That is where my true life is now. Remember who you are. Remember you are in God's kingdom, not the devil's. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. And who would like to read that?
I will.
Thank you, Alan.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, it says likewise reckon. That's that great word, leketsomai, in Greek. It's the first commandment in the church epistles directed at you and me, okay? We reckon it because it's true. Reckon means to logically conclude. What part of your body are you using when you logically conclude something? Joe's toe, okay? Thank you, Joe.
The mind.
The mind, right? Okay. It's not based on feelings, experiences, or human reasoning. It's based on believing what God's word says. This is not about changing our behavior, but changing our thinking, okay? We are commanded to renew our minds by reckoning ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, okay? So just as Romans 8:2 says, the law of the spirit of life, our new nature within us, has made us free from the law of sin and death. We have to reckon this so in our minds. The battlefield is where? It's in the mind, isn't it? We heard that so many times. Change in our lives works from the inside out, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So how do we get to the point of reckoning? Romans 12, 2 helps us. Yes. Jack, would you like to read that?
Verse 2.
Only. Yes, verse 2 only, yes.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
You know, there are three verbs in this verse, three action words, right? Conforming, renewing, and transformation, right? Mm-hmm. Only one verb is something we must do. And what is that verb that we must do? Renew, okay? I am to do the renewing, mm-hmm. to put the truth of God's word in my mind, to the truths of Romans 8. If I will do that, then God will do what? The transforming, the metamorphosis in my life. The proof will happen on the outside. You know, if you want to prove to me that you have an apple tree, you know, show me the fruit, show me the apples, right? What is exhibited in my life proves the testimony of God's word. If I will not renew my mind, I will be what? Conformed to this world. Conformed to the carnal ways of this world. To the world's way of thinking, the old nature, the law of sin and death. Renewing my mind or not renewing my mind determines whether I will be transformed or conformed. Okay, there is no neutrality, no middle ground. You know, and transforming and renewing is a continual process. Just don't do it once and that's it. Why can it occur? Because I have the Spirit of God within me. I have the DNA. I have the foundation. I have the ability. The Spirit equips me for that life. And I acknowledge that life within me. I believe it. We have been called to take the place of Jesus Christ on this earth, right? God's wants sons and daughters to grow up and to live in the spiritual realm with confidence and maturity, just like Jesus Christ did, and believe God just like Jesus Christ did, to grow into that big oak tree out there, you know? And what are the manifestations of this transformation? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we'll start in verse 16. It says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The battlefield is in the mind, isn't it? Verse 18. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of sin and death. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, rebelling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, inherit the kingdom of God does not mean you lose your salvation here, okay? It just means you won't see the reign of God in your life. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have the Spirit, okay, so why not walk in it? Isn't that just simple? Okay. Notice the acts of flesh are called works. They are called works because it's not in your nature now. You must choose to do them. Notice the manifestations of the Spirit are called fruit. Do you have to work to produce fruit? If you plant a tree, is it, you know, apple tree, is it going to produce fruit in due time if you water it, if you fertilize it, give it some sunlight? Is this something you have to grasp outside of yourself for the fruit of God's Spirit to pull it in? No, because it's part of your nature now. Okay? If you give it the right conditions, give it some Word of God, okay? Give it some light, give it some fellowship with believers, okay? This fruit's going to show. The fruit of the Spirit, godliness, holiness, God's nature with you, it will come out. You know, it's not as hard as the adversary would like you to believe. You know, he would like you to believe this is impossible, that you're still under a law of sin and death, but you aren't. You are designed to produce fruit. All it takes is some water, some light, some feeding from God's word to grow into that beautiful tree. And, you know, how much fruit can you bear? You know, sometimes the world will tell us, you know, you can't, if you were a billionaire, how much money could you give away to charity? Quite a bit, right? Because you have a lot of money, okay? If you were of lesser means, how much money could you give away? Well, the rule says you can only give away so much because you only have so much, right, of your time and resources. But let's take one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's do love. Alan, you taught love a couple weeks ago, walk in love, right? Okay, how much love can you give to the world? Okay, it depends on how much supply you have, right? Because, you know, like when you give money away, how much money can you give to charity? So how much money do you have, you know? You have a limited supply, but how much love do you have? Unlimited. Why? Because it's God's gift to you. How much love does God have? God is love, right? Says he has unlimited supply. And what has he filled you with? His very nature, his own spirit. So how much love can you get away, give away? All of it. You can continually, like you taught a couple weeks ago, you can continually walk in love because you have an unlimited supply. And God will keep on filling you up, right? So we can walk in love all the time, right? Right? We have an unlimited supply. You know, throughout the New Testament, we see God's encouragement to walk in the Spirit and to bear fruit. Galatians chapter 5, we are in Galatians 5, right? Let's go to verse 1 of Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 1 says what? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yokes of bondage, the law of sin and death. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll get to 1 Timothy here, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. Sorry about that. It says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, yes. I could have put these in order, but start in verse 9. And Joe, if you're there, could be verses 9 through 12.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians
6, verses 9 through 12.
Chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Like in verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Are you unrighteous as a born-again one?
Nope.
No, you are righteous, okay? So one time you could have been doing all these things, okay, identify with those things. It says, and such were some of you, verse 11, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God. Verse 12, all things are lawful unto me. I can do anything, right? I'm not going to lose my salvation or righteousness, right? But all things are not expedient. They're not profitable, okay? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, there's no profit to walking carnally. First Timothy chapter 6. We're almost done with these verses. First Timothy chapter 6. And in verse 6, if anybody's there, want to read verse 6 for me? First Timothy 6, verse 6.
Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Thank you. That's it. Godliness, okay, living a life, walking in the Spirit with contentment is great gain. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Yes, we're almost done here. 1 Peter chapter 1, Lori, want to read verses 15 and 16?
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am.
Okay, what does holy mean? It just means, okay, walking in the Spirit. Okay, walking in the new nature, right? We have now, right? It says, be ye holy because I am holy. Okay. The more we get to know our Heavenly Father and trust His goodness, the more we become concerned about living life in such a way that glorifies Him. A life that points to Christ, reflecting Him in all I do. And that is the true purpose of transformation. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. A couple more verses and we're done here.
Okay.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You know, sometimes we can live our lives and look at these verses and say, boy, I've really fallen short in a lot of these verses. I haven't live truly a life that's transformed or walking in the Spirit. But look at Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident, okay, knowing of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, and that good work starts when you get born again, will perform it until what? The day of Christ, okay? So no matter how much I've resisted to walk in the Spirit, okay, in my life, that Spirit within you keeps on guiding you into all truth. And what a comfort that is. It's like a plant, you know, that keeps on, that Spirit within you that wants to come towards the light. Like this poor little plant here just don't start, but it strives for more light. So it's looking for that light. My past failures do not limit my success in walking with God today, okay? Just as my past successes do not guarantee a spiritual walk today. You know, do not settle for shallow Christianity. What are you capable of? Do you want to grow in a small little oak that's 20 years old and just barely above ground? Okay. What are you capable of? Don't let this transitory world entice or intimidate you. The question is not, how big is God's Spirit within you? That's not the question. We know we're filled to the fullest, right? But the question is, how big do I see it? Let's close in Titus chapter 2. How big do you see it in your life? You have all the abilities you need. Titus chapter 2, let's close here. We'll start in verse 11. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And it has, hasn't it? Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, living carnally, what we should live what? Instead, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. So, Father, we are so grateful that you've given us the Holy Spirit. We couldn't obviously do this ourselves. No matter how hard we tried, it's like with ourselves before Jesus Christ came, it was pushing a boulder uphill wouldn't work. So, Father, we thank you so much that you have given us life, eternal life. You've given us the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Help us now to embrace that. Help us now to live that. And help us now just to enjoy your presence within us each and every day. May we continue to grow up as we should. Grow up so we can be like our big brother, Jesus Christ, and give you glory, Father. We thank you for all of you've given us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. What a wonderful day we have walking with God. So enjoy this day, enjoy this week, and enjoy the upcoming month to praise God for all he's given us. Thank you for joining us.